All right, good evening. I'm calling to order the City of Berkeley Lake Planning and Zoning Commission meeting January 14th, 2025 at 7:21. I apologize for that. Approval or changes to the agenda? Do I hear any?
No.
All right, and approval of minutes. You guys had a chance to go through the minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I move we approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Old business, there being none, we'll move on to new business. Planning zoning variance 24-10-4245 South Berkeley Lake Road variance to section 78-19711 to increase building coverage from 15% to 19.8%. Is the applicant here somewhere? Okay, if you'd like to come forward and introduce yourself, just need your name and address, please, into the mic for the records.
Sorry, we'll be here again. Just your name and your address.
I know.
Okay, that's it.
Unfortunately, I haven't had to do this before.
Okay.
My name is Millard Bowen. My wife, Judy, my daughter, Blake. We live at 10665 Big Canoe.
But it's the property address.
And
4245.
Yeah,
4245,
I'm sorry.
South Berkeley Lake
South
Road.
South Berkeley Lake. And,
yes, that's it.
We're here asking if you would consider a variance for us on a house we're trying to build. And be glad to answer any questions that you might have. We looked for many years to find a lot, and we found it here. We need a variance to build the house we'd like to build, be close to our children. And we have a large family, and we needed a gathering place. We've had it for years, but we sold the house that we did it in, and we're trying, we can't duplicate that house, but we're trying to have one that all of our family can come. We have 22 in our family, and we try to enjoy Christmas and all the holidays and birthdays and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And so that's why we want to build here and be our home.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else you need?
Could just stay there for us to ask questions,
that would be
good. Have you guys had a chance to go through this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. All right. Questions, Mr. Bowen?
I guess the first question I have relates to your statement in your proposal that you cannot have a basement.
You know, I'm getting
what
old.
What is the restriction?
Basements are lots. I mean, steps. The lot is not really conducive for a basement. And that's why we put it on a slab. Okay. We want it close to the ground. Unfortunately, I'm at age and steps. We just don't agree.
No, it will.
Barb?
I guess I did want to ask. I Googled you, as one does, and you're a builder and a developer. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
It just struck me. I wanted to ask, when did you buy the lot?
When was the lot bought?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
My wife bought the lot, and I think it was at least 3 years ago, wasn't it?
I think it was 3 years. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Here's a little bit longer, but we've had a renter there. We've had three different renters.
Oh, when the house was there.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. Right. Ma'am. Before you took it down. Okay.
Correct.
I just was curious why you, knowing the lot size, why you decided to design a house bigger than what the ordinance allows.
Can I?
Sure.
Can I tell you that I did not realize two things. I did not realize that you had this ordinance. Number one, my fault. Just being honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that lot narrows. It's real wide at the front, 137 feet, I think, something like that. And I will tell you that I did not realize two things. It narrows in the back, and that this was a ordinance that you have here. I've built houses for 50 years, but I've never built in cities with this kind of ordinance. I've done some neighborhoods, full neighborhoods and all that. So I'm the one that didn't do enough research. But when I got an architect, we tried to design a home that we were looking for, and unfortunately, it didn't meet your requirements. And therefore, you see me here today. I'm not begging for this variance, but I sure would like
it. We're just requesting it.
I sure would like it. I will build a nice home, one I think you can be proud of in your community. And
it looks beautiful,
sir.
What I've seen, it looks beautiful. What you're wanting to do, it looks beautiful. I don't think he's hearing me.
It's okay.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the basement and why you can't put? I understand you don't want to go down, but hang on.
In the world, you can't force a basement in.
Okay, so
you can sink it in the ground. You can put sump pumps in to keep the water out. But unfortunately, that's not the home I want now in my life is a basement.
So you also can't do a daylight basement, and so it's a half and half to where when the engineer was saying kind of what they had originally maybe thought of doing, kind of like a half daylight basement wasn't really an option, kind of where it narrows and goes out. And so my brother, unfortunately, he is our engineer. He was not able to be here tonight because his son graduated from college, and this was their trip, and so he couldn't come. But he absolutely said if we have like alternative questions that he can answer them, he just couldn't be here. But just based on what they were needing, with a slab worked out better with the lot. But we understand that that's also kind of a personal issue with what kind of house they wanted.
So a full
daylight basement is not possible, kind of where it was.
Okay.
And so I don't want to speak to where he can speak to that. I can't speak as to the reasons why he said. I don't have those in front of me, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, so when we talk about hardship, mm-hmm. you know, everyone who comes in here with a variance request wants
what they want. Yeah.
So they want what they want.
Yeah.
So to not get it isn't the hardship.
Correct.
So I'm trying to understand the basement thing because I understand you don't want to go down the steps. I don't like going down the steps anymore
right.
either. I get that. But we're talking about a large home to entertain all of the family and have all the family over there. Not everybody is
right
at the age where steps are a problem.
So with bedrooms and things, being able to stay their bedrooms with windows and things like that, you couldn't get like the three bedrooms down there. And so again, we went up. So it's also more of a personal preference as well. So with what kind we wanted.
Okay. But still, it's the basic footprint that's the issue, not whether it goes up or down.
Correct. It's the eave-to-eave.
It's the roof. It's the roof.
Absolutely.
Well, I just want to clarify, it is, because the distinction in our code is we give a break to structures that are lower than 25 feet.
Right.
In height.
Yeah.
So if their structure was under 25 feet in height, then they would meet the building coverage threshold of 20%. But because they're going up, they're exceeding that 25-foot height, they're limited to the 15% building coverage, and that's the variance.
So that was the swap out. Instead of going down, they went up, and if we had gone down, it would be under 15%. And because it's under the
ground, I guess.
Well, the roof, I don't think, it would not be 35 feet. It would be 25 feet.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have two layers.
Well, so basically your roof print's not going to change, right? No matter above, below.
Sorry, I said that wrong. Inaccurate.
It's potentially all going to be the same. But the standard is changing, and that's the challenge. So when we wrote this ordinance, and this ordinance goes back to about 2009, I actually kind of look back in history to refresh my memory on any of the discussion that we had at the time about the intent of the ordinance. I couldn't find a whole lot of information, but I think it was essentially to make sure that structures fit with the scale of the property. A lot of the discussion was about preserving view shed. And I think that was why there was a little bit of a perk given if you kept a lower profile, you got to take up more of the lot because you weren't obstructing as much of the vertical view. So we gave a little bit more on the horizontal view. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we normally don't have this many people here for a simple variance request. Do we open this up?
This is a public hearing, so yes, absolutely. Everybody in this room has the right to speak.
Okay. Do you guys have any more questions? We may call you up for
more. Be fine. Thank you so much.
Any more right now?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll open it up to public comments. Does anybody want to come up and speak? Hang on, Bill.
Bill AC, 147 Lakeshore Drive, and we share 111 feet on the back of our lots. And I've seen the drawing of the house. It really is beautiful. I think it would be a good addition to our community. My only concern is the runoff and how that's going to be controlled. A lot of the trees have been cut down. And prior to that, we wouldn't have major concern with runoff, a little trickle now and then with heavy rains. But with the, I think, reduction in the porous soil, it could be an issue, which I think is probably controllable by planting trees, shrubs, greenery to help control the water. But there are a number of lots that could be impacted by runoff. So now that's my only concern.
Thank you.
I'm quite happy with the house, the size, no issues for me. It's just the containing the runoff.
Okay. That's very valuable. Thank you for
that. My name is Lewis Young. My concern also is runoff. I live at 4265 South Berkeley. The problem is around the houses on both sides, I already have runoff problems, and we've got a gully there, you know, behind my house, and the trees, the support of the trees, the existing trees in my lot are affected by how soft the soil is. And if you have any additional runoff, it's going to affect my trees, and I already have gutters and everything trying to get the runoff under control around my house. So it would be nice if we had something from the developer about how he's planning on preventing additional runoff. So I think that's not in the plans that I saw. So I think that would be a helpful in making, you know, your decision of whether it should be approved. But I think that's my concern. Thank you.
I'm Bill Lyons. I'm at 127 Lakeshore Drive. I'm down the hill from Bill Lacey. We already have some different runoff issues. I spent a significant amount of money when I built my house to put in systems to control that. I'm concerned that there hasn't been any engineering studies on what impact this would have, I can't imagine it not adding to the runoff issue, which would, since it comes through me directly to the lake, I think you have some issues of additional sediment and other things. So I would really like to see something on an engineering basis, at least, to analyze the impact of the property. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else? Those are good points.
Yeah, real good point. Mark Miller.
Mark.
I'm going to assist them in the build project. And so the first concern was, when I saw the project before the house was tore down, is how lower they are. So your first, you know, water runs downhill. We are going to be putting in an underground retention. Are you all familiar with that? under.
Is this where you collect it on the end so it prevents?
You won't even know it's there. It's a monster-sized tank. And every gutter on the house downspout will be hard piped all to that underground. So that's going to eliminate the roof water.
Where to from there?
Pardon me, sir?
Where to from there?
Where does it go from there, from the tank?
Okay, the tank, there's two ways you can do it. Is normally the last two I've done, we perforated. It was perforated. So it acts kind of like a septic system. It leaches back into the ground. Another way is don't perforate it and storage the water and use it, repurpose it and use it for irrigation. So the last one I did, we repurposed it. The one before, we leached it. The engineer will draw the plan so y'all can see how it's, where it's going to be. But how we normally typically do it is we hard pipe every gutter. I mean, all the way around the house. And it all ends up into that chamber.
So the tank has not been located on the plan yet?
No, sir. We'll have the engineer does the calculation of how much it takes, what size pipe and everything, and then he'll draw it out so you'll have a locate. You'll see it, where it goes. And
how big is the tank?
Well, it'll vary. He'll do the math off the roof.
We have had a 300-year flood here, so might be something to pay attention to.
Oh, Lord, everybody has. These several that I've put in, and these were on big lots, big houses too, range from 60-foot, 60-inch pipe to 120-foot, two rows, 60-piece. And what you got is a pop-up valve. So if they're full, there's a pop-up valve that the water comes out of that. But they usually leach out pretty fast into the ground. And that's...
Are they buried just like the same depth as a septic tank?
You have to go...
Lines?
He'll have all the specs when we have it drawn. It'll be 2 foot below the ground. It's got to be embedded in fabric, then gravel. It's expensive. And then a foot of gravel and then a foot of soil, and that's where your saw's at. So you won't even know it's there. And then it's PVC'd all in it to it. Reason I had to do the last two houses I did over in Buford was right by Lake Lanier. And we had developed 10 lots and didn't have a retention pond. And so that's why we did, every house had to have that drain to Lake Lanier right there, because Lake Lanier was just right there. And so that's... It's a great idea. You would think it wouldn't be expensive, but it is. Because pipes jumped up and gravel. It's a big trench, big hole.
Okay.
Takes a excavator to get it put in there. So that's that on the water from the house. Now, a major flooding storm, normal rainfall handles. I haven't seen what it does in a flood yet. So, but a lot of commercial properties are doing it now too.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
Can you come back up to Miller? Miller? Yeah.
Mark?
Yes.
Can you come back up?
Yes, sir.
Who did you want?
Miller.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I mean,
sorry, Mark, we're good.
It's okay. I'll try to speak up. I've got a raspy voice. You've heard your potential neighbors, I guess since you own the property there, your neighbors now, issue what they say concerns are. You now heard the man on your property, working on your property, tell you what he's planning to do about it. I'm asking you what responsibility you feel to protect your neighbors.
Thank you very much.
But are you willing to do possibly even more than what Mark suggested?
Mark, my son is an engineer.
Yeah.
He couldn't be good at that.
All right.
I can't keep spending money unless I can.
I understand.
And that's where I'm at. I'd be glad to show you a set of drawings when he gets back in town.
So we do know a storm water maintenance system is required. We have right. management. We did not want to engineer it yet based on the fact that if we need to reduce the plans, we can't engineer it if we don't know that we're sure. going to be building that. Right. And so he's very well aware that this is what we will have to do because okay. I believe it's over 5,000 square feet.
Right. I mean, just some context here, and I kind of want to explain. I understand everybody's concern about water, and I get that.
And there's a tree.
What you guys are here to do tonight, though, is decide about whether or not they should exceed a zoning standard.
I understand.
The stormwater requirement is a requirement in a different part of our code. We have a post-development stormwater management ordinance that requires the addition of 5,000 square feet of impervious or more to meet a stormwater management requirement. It has to be engineered. We've had this come up before where there's sort of this chicken and egg issue about do they spend the money to engineer something that only to not get the variance, and, you know, we could go round and round about that all night long. You know, there's both sides to that story.
I mean, that was the first thought in my head that was a part of the different part of the code.
Yeah.
However, I'm reluctant to approve something until I'm sure that the neighbors are going to be protected. So,
well, I mean, it's a requirement, and your engineer also has to review it as well.
Correct. Right. I'm not going to issue a permit until the engineer signs off on the stormwater management side of this. This is going to sound, I mean, let me just try to be clear about this. With variance hearings, and I understand it is very important to listen to public comment, I just want you all to be aware that this is really about a zoning standard. And they're meeting their lot coverage requirement. If we were talking about an impervious surface issue, then this would be more germane to the actual variance. But that's not what we're talking about. So they are meeting the 30% impervious surface standard. Therefore, what they're asking for really isn't an impact to the stormwater side of their development. They are, by right, allowed to develop the lot and meet a 30% impervious surface coverage. They will, because of the 5,000 square foot impervious addition, be required to have stormwater management. Does that make sense? Okay.
And we have not been approved for the building, we have not been approved for the building permit, meaning this is just the step one to then be able to do that. And so Lee and I have been emailing, and we are very well aware of what is required based on, and we are more than willing to do that.
I mean, I'm very concerned about my neighbors. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you say 6,000 square foot under roof area, that's the combination of the first floor and the second floor, right?
Correct. The main floor is about a 4,200-ish footprint.
4,348.
Okay. And then 1,700 and change up.
But the problem is really the roof, not the under roof area.
Well, right. It's the eave-to-eave roof print. So it's that main floor, really. I mean, whatever's above that, as long as it's above the same roof, isn't adding to the roof print. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How many square feet would have to be reduced in order to meet the 15% standard?
I haven't done the math on that, but, I mean, for instance, if, let's just say for the sake of argument, they had
it's about 1,000
square
about
feet.
It's 958.
So it would take you down to 5,000 square feet?
No, you can't
again,
really.
It's
you can't look at it that way.
Because it's the roof. So it's right. not necessarily, it's the roof square footage has to reduce by 1,000. It's not
I
the
see.
Square footage
I
of
see.
The, yes ma'am.
Okay.
So the problem is you'd have to take the main floor from 4,300 to 3,300, and if you wanted that extra square footage, you'd have to put it up above instead of...
Right. It's basically the sprawling nature of the main floor.
Gotcha.
If you had a two-story house that was the same footprint on both stories, for instance, you wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right, Blake, because it was the... Really, it's the difference of the garage because the main floor met it.
Right.
And then
the back covered porch and the front porch is probably like 500-600 square feet. That's not
so it's the three-car garage in the front.
Right.
That's about
950 square feet. And so the main floor was it, but it's the three-car garage. That exceeds it over from that 15.
Mm-hmm. Whereas it's a courtyard.
Well, no, because it's covered.
I know, but a courtyard, typically, the garage comes out because your courtyard entrance, when a lot of times side entry is tucked in part of the house. You may have 200 feet sticking out the front, so 900. But when you do a courtyard entrance, you've got to have free and clear the whole garage.
And we're having to do that because it's so narrow. The lot is narrow.
The good thing is it is in the building lot.
Right. I think I mentioned that. There are no other zoning standards that are out of line. Everything else complies, but this building coverage piece does not.
Okay. How are we doing?
So, what modifications had you discussed with the architect that might help you meet?
We haven't yet. We wanted, before we kind of took the time and had to go back to the drawing board, we just wanted to ask first.
Okay. I was going to call you ahead of time and ask you this question, but where does the 15% in our code come from? Is that standard across other municipalities? Is that kind of set?
No. When I went back and looked at past minutes, I think there was a 15% lot coverage at one point in time. And I think at that point it was intended to deal with stormwater. And I think we adopted that in 08. And then between 08 and 09, from the best I could tell, we upped the lot coverage to 30%, but we wanted to keep that building coverage limited to 15%. At the time, one of the trends happening around, and we've seen this here, is a phenomenon called the sort of McMansion, explosion, where people took smaller structures down off of smaller lots and then built these, very large homes on smaller lots, smaller footprint lots. And the scale became an issue for a lot of people. Didn't seem like it fit in with the character of what was there. And it's kind of what we've seen around the lake from time to time. There have been lots that were, formerly the site of a smaller, footprint house. Property values being what they are, it drives up the cost and people want to put a larger structure on those lots. So I think we adopted this to try to, have some kind of control over, again, keeping some open space. We've got setbacks too, but this just keeps the feel, I think was the intent, the view of the natural areas, the trees, the lake, everything else that everybody has come to really identify with this community. I think this standard is meant to try to ensure that.
What other municipalities have similar issues? How do they deal with this?
I haven't looked at other municipalities. I will just tell you, and I understand the Bowen's position. My personal opinion about this, if I can be so bold, would be to say that, you mentioned this, there's really not a hardship in this case. The lot meets width, size, topo is gentle. The typical standards that are required for a hardship to be proven have not really been shown, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. And if the issue is the standard, and we don't like the standard, then the way to deal with that is not through a variance process, but to change the code. So if we have an issue with that standard and think that's not the right requirement, then we can consider that. We might be considering that in the very near future through another process that we're in the middle of. So I'll just leave you with that.
I'll just tell you up front that I came here this week after going through this. I came here questioning the hardship, which is one of the requirements. And I just couldn't see the hardship in this. I see the desire, and therefore it's a hardship if you don't give me my desire. But that's kind of, like I said, that's kind of always, that's quite often the hardship. I'll give you an example. There was a, we had one that we considered where there was no room to have a garage, and the only place they could put it is in the front of their yard, and it's detached, which we don't allow. Well, we considered it a hardship that they could not fit a garage on their property, and so we allowed a variance. That was a lot. It was a big variance. It was a lot for us to grant, but we considered that a hardship. Probably everyone's entitled to a garage, right? So, but is everyone entitled to a 4,200 square foot main floor, even though it's like, you know, in a three-car garage? I know that's kind of what we look at when we're trying to decide what's a hardship. So I struggle with this even meeting the requirements for a variance. What do you guys think?
I agree with you. I think if we have a standard and we have an ordinance, and we don't see a hardship or an exception, I think we, unfortunately for you all, have to deny it. But that's my view.
Do you have anything to sway us?
No. Don't have anything contrary to what you said.
Okay. So do we make a motion to approve and then not vote for it, or do we make a motion to...
You make the motion to deny it.
Okay. All right. Do I hear a motion to deny?
I make a motion. We deny the variance request.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So it's denied. I'm sorry. I want to say yes to everybody who comes in.
I want to thank you all for considering this, and we'll do the best we can.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Appreciate you coming.
Yeah, those are tough.
Yeah, those are tough.
And to the public, thank you. You're welcome to stay. We're going to do some other administrative stuff, but you're welcome to leave, too. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
All right.
Is there anything else going to get discussed that I need to do?
I think that
just administrative stuff.
We'll spend some time with the architect.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means.
Appointment, like electric chair, vice chair, Berkeley. Appointment secretary.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Thanks, Les.
You spelled it B-E-R-K-L-E-Y.
And I get what he says about the basement now. I didn't realize he was saying you can't do anything with it. So we got, no, we can do basement, you know, bedrooms for kids and things. You don't want to see that dungeon. So I get that part.
But you got to try.
But that's a choice.
All right. You know. See.
10,000
straight up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get that too.
Okay, next.
Moving along.
Yep.
Election of chair. I guess we can do this with three of us.
I mean, you know, I thought about it today. It's really up to you guys. There's nothing that requires that we do this. If you would rather have the full commission here, I think that you could move to postpone that until a future meeting.
Has anyone else expressed interest in any of these positions?
Not that I know of.
Is Pekka still the vice chair?
George was the vice chair.
I noticed George took over the last meeting.
I think George was vice chair this past year.
Okay.
Yep.
We played musical chairs, so I couldn't remember.
Chairs, no pun intended.
You know, let's just wait in case anybody else. What do you guys think? In case
I would agree.
I don't think Pekka or George.
I don't think we're going to change much, but. Or anything. I don't think we need to change anything. But.
I don't know that George wants this position, but he might. So we should, I guess, hold off. Unless you guys think we should just do it and George gets what he gets because he's not here.
So how do we need to do anything to continue this year?
I would just, if y'all want to hold off, I would, somebody make a motion to just say let's postpone this until the full commission is present or something. Hopefully we'll have the full commission.
That's what I'm saying. If we make it with those words, then we can't do it until we have a full
commission. Correct. So, that's true.
So let's. I'm going to make a motion that we postpone this until we at least
talk to people.
Talk to see if anybody is interested in making any changes.
If no one is, then we can just whatever. I think that's wise.
Whoever shows up the next time can just approve it.
All right. You want to put that in the motion?
Sure. I'm going to move that we continue the election of the chair and vice chair and appointment of secretary.
You could do that tonight because that's always me.
Let's do that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Somebody make a motion that Lee continues as secretary.
I move that Lee continue as our secretary.
I second, third, fourth, and fifth.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. Okay, and now I'll make a motion that we continue the election of chair and vice chair until such time as we can get the input from the missing council members as to their interest.
And who would get that input? We need to have it coordinated.
So, I mean, you know, this is the thing about this. I feel like it's not something that normally is an offline conversation. Why don't you just say let's postpone it till the next meeting, and perhaps that's what I would do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I make a motion that we postpone it till the next meeting.
Yeah. I second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any comments from our marshals? All right. There being no more business, we will adjourn at 7:58.
Done and done.
I wanted to ask.